And welcome back. The Democratic and Republican candidates for St. Louis County Executive Steve Stenger and Rick Stream are widely considered the major contenders for that post, but there are two other third-party candidates on the ballot. Joe Passanisi is running under the Constitution Party's banner. Libertarian Theo Brown Sr. declined an invitation to appear on St. Louis on the Air. He's also in the race. But Mr. Passanisi is with us in studio. If the name sounds familiar, it may be because Joe Passanisi, a former Republican, has run for the post before, having lost to Buzz Westfall and Charlie Dooley. Nice to have you back with us again.
Thank you, sir.
Trying it again. Another time.
Another time with a motive of trying to make sure the public understands what government should be doing. And I don't think it's currently doing that. And I'm not sure if either candidate on the Republican and Democrat side have recognized what is good governments.
What do you bring to the table? What are the issues you think the people have to be advised of?
They need to be advised of really important issues that the county government has already decided on. I know another word for that is accountability, and that is to tell the public what they're doing and why they're doing it. For example, you may know that or may not know that the St. Louis County Police is working with the St. Louis City Police to join crime statistics. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. They're also working on a crime lab together.
Right. But the crime statistics actually, I believe, would hurt the people of St. Louis County because it will affect your insurance. And so, again, this is an issue that has not been presented to the public and shown that it has advantages and disadvantages. This is accountability. That has not occurred.
What's the disadvantage?
What is it? I just said the disadvantage would be if you got 30% increase in murders in St. Louis City, and we don't have that in St. Louis County, you're going to join those crime statistics. The crime statistics in the county are going to be elevated.
You know, I think most political observers probably don't give third party candidates here or anyplace else much of a chance to win.
I understand.
So you've really got a headwind that you're facing here. Why bother?
I am a public advocate. Before I signed up to be a candidate for the Constitution Party, a public advocate speaks for the public in issues where the government has failed to respond or failed to do their job. And so I see myself doing exactly that, only in this case, sharing those concepts with the other candidates, especially the winner of this contest, if I am not that winner, so that they have another idea, if they haven't had it already, about what is good government.
If you do win this race, what would your first step be to restore confidence in county government following what we've been going through in Ferguson, not only in government but in law enforcement?
It's important to hear from the people. Not just those 2 or 3 minute presentations in front of the county council. I'm talking about a full public meeting with all the department heads at that meeting so that we can hear from our citizens about whatever they have on their mind. If it's a concern about not having to get a permit in a proper way or cost too much money, we should hear from them. We don't hear from our citizens and we don't give them an opportunity to hear. I would, as the county executive, have a public meeting for all the residents, all the citizens of St. Louis County, and do exactly that. You know, I worked for the county government for 30 years, and I know what's important in terms of what citizens look for and how government should respond. Government needs to recognize that citizens don't serve government. Government serves citizens.
You know, I'll say this, that we have been hearing from the citizens. We've been hearing from them on the streets of Ferguson, and that has spilled over into other communities. Your thoughts with regard to being heard this way, civil disobedience, street demonstrations. Your thoughts about that tactic?
I believe that it's still important to hear from the citizens, if I remember correctly, have never had a public meeting initiated by the county executive or the county council. That would be important. Just because you may not have the responsibility of doing that because you're not an official of City of Ferguson doesn't prevent you from taking the initiative. As county executive, I would have had a public meeting inviting all the residents, the ones that have complaints and those who believe the City of Ferguson is still doing a good job. We need to hear from our residents in that area, and I would organize a public meeting for that very purpose, have people on the stage that are responsible for decisions that were made in Ferguson, whether they were to be the mayor, if the mayor would accept, the city administrator, and also the chief of police, yes.
Of course, at a recent county council meeting, a number of those people did show up, demonstrators, I would say, the people who have the complaints about Ferguson, and it was very disruptive. And
absolutely. If, on the other hand, the county executive created a public meeting, that would not have occurred. They didn't have a voice. There was no place for them to speak. So they came to the county council chambers to speak. But that could have been avoided if the county executive would have taken initiative to create a public meeting just for this purpose.
Do they have legitimate grievances?
From what I'm reading in the paper, they do. There seems to be an emphasis on African Americans being arrested in that area. And this would also be brought out in the public meeting. What are the crime statistics? What are their concerns? Let's hear them. Let's go out there and listen to the public and hear then from the government officials back and forth in an environment of respect, an environment of openness and transparency. We don't have that.
One of the issues in North County in particular is the economic situation. There are many people who are living below the poverty line there. What could you as county executive do, initiate, or energize to alleviate that kind of problem?
Having very little income is connected with working to earn income. There has to be a way of bringing businesses to that area so that the residents there can earn a living. Benjamin Franklin, many, many years ago, the problem with the poor has been with us since the very beginning of our country. And his concern was that if you give the poor everything, they remain poor. And you have to give them an opportunity to work. And as county executive, I would find a way for that to happen.
That almost sounds to me like you might be saying that many, many people on government programs are freeloading.
I think I was absolutely concerned with an issue such as that, and I was listening to a program in Texas. The lady was being interviewed by the host, and she says that she gets money from the state, the city, and the feds. And the host said, well, just how much money do you get per month? And she said, $13,000 a month. And so she came back at the host and says, I don't need to work. So there are people like that, yes.
So how do you weed them out?
You look for them in terms of have they had the opportunity to work and then try to work with these. Maybe they just need guidance in the process. And maybe that would be a person in county government to help people to move along and find that job. Maybe we need an ombudsman, somebody that would be a public advocate for the people to help them in the process of regaining responsible citizenship instead of trying to get all their money from the various governments.
While there may be some people who are working the system, there are many, of course, who are not, who are in dire need.
Yes, I agree.
And that's something that you'd have to segregate the two, if you would.
Again, I really believe government has a responsibility to take the initiative. What is happening in a family where there's drugs? Okay, so how do you help them? Maybe you put them on a program to take drugs out of the equation. Again, if we don't have the opportunity to talk to these people and try to help people similar circumstances, whether they're in Ferguson or out in Chesterfield, I'm sure Chesterfield has their own area of poor, or even in Frontenac, there's a section of poor. We need to take initiative to solve these problems and not wait for the state or feds to figure this out.
You mentioned early in our discussion your concerns about crime statistics that would include St. Louis City, for instance, and St. Louis County. I am going to assume from that, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that you would not, therefore, be in favor of incorporating the city back into St. Louis County.
That is correct. I think the idea of eliminating all the identities of the some 90 cities to form one government, I take it that's where you're going with that.
No, it was really what I'm getting to is what they've been talking about most prominently, and that is bringing the city back into the county as yet another municipality.
As you know. Well, that is a possibility, but there has to be some understanding about what the city's responsibilities will be. Right now, St. Louis County has an arterial road system, which I worked on when I worked for the highway department. We maintain roads through municipalities as well as unincorporated county. Now, the city has arterial roads. The question then becomes, is it going to be a situation where if they come into this county that we'll have a larger burden in terms of maintaining arterial roads? Again, this is an opportunity for the public to meet with the government, talk about what it is that we could do to bring these two entities together or possibly not. If that's, you know, it's important that we hear from our citizens. How many times have we talked to the citizens about this very issue? I don't think that we've talked any time.
Not recently, but in the last 50, 75 years, there have been a couple of votes in which the idea of consolidation, merger was absolutely rejected.
Yes.
Another issue I wanted to talk about, because you're talking about it, is Westlake Landfill.
Yes.
We learned just the other day that this underground burn, as they call it, is now heading toward radioactive waste.
Yes.
Is the county really in a position to be able to do anything about that? I think of it in terms of a national environmental situation, a federal government issue.
I was just reading about that just recently, about that very issue. There seems to be some disagreement whether the fire is moving north or moving south. Okay, but aside from that.
But it's moving.
It's moving. Okay. The important thing as county executive is to take initiative. You know how long the radioactivity material has been in this area, and there's been really no action?
Since World War II.
Yeah. Well, no. 1976 is when they took this radioactive material that was at the airport.
From Mallinckrodt when they were working on nuclear weapons.
And it was covered with dirt to cover it up. But what happened is developers in that area picked it up and took it and filled around homes in the subdivision. So we have radioactive material in the area where people live, in addition to the creek water. So what would I do as county executive? I would try to make sure the feds fix this problem. They created it, and it should be fixed by them. And I would work very diligently to make that happen.
How do you make the feds do anything?
You know, that's always a good question. As a government employee, you know, the one thing that makes a difference, as was apparent in that county council meeting, is the number of people that come out and speak about this. I could have a meeting with those people in North County, and I could have them sign a petition. I could have them give them names and phone numbers of who to call and who to talk to. It can be done. Government pays special attention to numbers, the numbers of people for or against.
Why did you change your political affiliation from a Democrat to Republican?
I wanted to be more connected with a party that depends on the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution were instruments that were critical to the forming of this country. And Thomas Jefferson, in his writings in dealing with both the documents, focused on two things that we're not doing, that people should be informed, which would permit them to take action. We have to have the opportunity for people to be informed. That's the reason why I'm focused on these public meetings. Not only for the general topics, but any specific topics, such as should the city and the county merge? We need a public meeting about that. And the other one dealing with the combining of certain activities. You know, the Economic Council of St. Louis County doesn't exist anymore. You know why? It has merged with the St. Louis City Economic Council. I was talking to one of their directors not too long ago. I was trying to get information, and he said, I'm not giving it to you. And I said, well, aren't you a county employee? He said, no. So I looked into it further, that these two entities have formed a new organization, a new nonprofit organization, apparently, which has no authority that deals with either the county government or the city. Exactly who pays their bills? That was the biggest thing. I was trying to find out who pays the bills. They wouldn't tell me.
Well, you've got a couple of weeks left, Joe Passanese, to get your message out. I want to thank you so much for being with us on St. Louis on the Air. Good luck on November 4th.
I do have one other comment to make.
Very quickly.
Okay. If anybody wants to call me, they can call me at 314-616-4216.
We'll put it on our website.
Okay. And I have an email address as well.
Put it all on the website. Thank you.
Okay, Don. Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at issues facing veterans as they reintegrate into society following their military service. Also, Cedric the Entertainer will be with us. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.